Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can we put our hands together for our choir? For the worship team? Hallelujah! We thank God. We are blessed. Amen. Amen. They carried us along and all of us, I was dancing there. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And thank you, Neil. Amen. You're all welcome this morning. Hallelujah. I can see you. Praise the Lord. Today is the last Sunday, right? In the month of January. Before you know what is happening, we'll be in December. It's going a day, one day at a time. And the Lord is faithful. Amen. And this morning, I want to thank God for the servant of God who the Lord has chosen to lead us in this house. Thank God for his life, his dedication to God, his commitment, his love, his exemplary life. Thank God for him and his wife. And just for some of us who didn't know, he led a team of our leaders and our members to DC for a yearly 24-hour praise worship. And that started on Friday, 6 p.m., finished on Saturday, yesterday, 6 p.m., 24-hour praise worship. And I believe by now they're on their way coming back. So we are going to do two prayers this morning. But before then, I think I am seeing somebody like that looks like our doctor. Hallelujah. You're welcome. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. We are going to do two prayers. The first prayer, we are going to pray for our pastor and the team. And the Lord will give them Johnny Mercy. And the outcome of that praise worship, that God will release upon America, God will release upon Mount Zion his blessings like never before. That's the first prayer. And then the second prayer, we are going to also pray. Maybe you have already gotten your one. You understand? Your one. If you have found your one, we are going to pray. You are going to pray for that one this morning. If you have not, you are going to pray that the Lord will help you to discover that one this week. Amen. Amen. Okay, so please, let's rise. Let us pray for our pastor and the team as they, I believe, they're on their way coming back. Let's ask the Lord to, he took them there, God should bring them back. Let's pray that the Lord will grant them journey mercy. The Lord will cover them with his Shekinah glory. The journey will be smooth. The purpose of that praise worship is to give God what he deserves, worship. And as in obedience that have been done, that the Lord will release his blessing upon America. The Lord will release his blessing upon Tennessee. The Lord will release his blessing upon Cleveland. The Lord will release his blessing upon Mount Zion. The Lord will release his blessing upon every one of us. Let us pray and ask the Lord God in obedience. Lord, we have done. Lord, what you instructed us. Lord, led by your servant, Lord God Almighty, they went in obedience to DC. And Lord, they offered to you praise and worship. Now, on their way coming back, we ask, oh God, that the heavenly hosts, you will come with them. You will be with them. Lord, you will usher them. Jehovah God, you will clear the way. You bring them here safe and sound. Lord, the journey will be smooth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew 16:19 is what we are basing this prayer upon. Okay? It says, behold, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose here on earth will be loose in heaven. So you are going to pray for the one that God has led you to be praying on. So you are going to pray and say, Lord, prepare this one. Minister to this one. Lord, touch this one. and Lord, make him or her receptive to the truth and open him or her up for the truth. So, and if you have not discovered your one, you are going to pray and say, Lord, lead me this week to that right person. As I go out this week, lead me to the right person. Lord, the one that you want me to be praying for. Shall we pray? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Father, we bless you, we worship you. Take all the glory this morning. Take all the honor this morning, Lord. Yes, we come before you, Jehovah God, the one, Father, that your God, that you have put in the heart of your children, Jehovah God, to be praying on. Father, we present before you. Lord, we ask, Father, that you minister. Lord, prepare this one. Open their heart. Open their minds. Let them be receptive to you. Thank you, mighty God. And for those, oh God, who are yet to discover the one, Father, we pray this week, Lord, do wonders. Move like never before. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we are so grateful this morning. Thank you. Thank you for these areas we have touched. Thank you, Father, Lord, bringing us into this last day, the last Sunday of the month of January. Lord, is by your mercy. And so, Lord, all we have prayed on this morning, Father, we thank you because you have heard us. You granting journey mercy to your servant and the team. They shall, Lord, arrive safe and sound to the glory of your name. And thank you, Lord, for the one, that individual, Lord God Almighty, that we are praying on, we are praying about. Thank you, Jehovah God, for you alone will do the work of a change. Glory, honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we please have a seat? Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we are welcome to the house of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I take the reading from verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The second scripture is a long one. Well, that is Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Read from verse 12 to 16. Can somebody please help us read that? Luke 19:12-16.
saying, Lord, here's the mina which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to me, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Then he said to those who stood by, take the minor from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minor. He said to him, Lord, he has 10. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them.
Thank you. Actually, should have been 12 to 26. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go make disciples. Go make disciples. The message that God has sent to us in the past two Sundays has been, it's a focus on souls. You know the GPS, right? The global position. We are positioned by the cloud. We are being led by the cloud in the glory. And then we are positioned by the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit leads by that cloud by day and the fire by night, God wants us to concentrate on souls, which is the S. So the portion we have just read is talking about making disciples. God wants us to do something, that is to reproduce ourselves. God is interested in reproduction. So Jesus came for the lost souls, died for the lost souls, and left a very important assignment. And that assignment he gave to the disciples, and that same assignment is to us today. That is to finish the work he started. That is to make disciples. It goes beyond just talking to somebody. But the beginning is what we have been hearing the past two Sundays. We have to pray intentionally for somebody. We have to care for that person, right? And the third thing is we have to share. And what is the fourth one? Wow. We invite, we bring them in. Hallelujah. So when we bring them in, what we're trying to do is to make disciples. That is the end result of the first three, which is pray, care, share. The end result will be to make them disciples. To make them stand like us in Christ. Hallelujah. So if we are going to make disciples, we have to ask ourselves, who is a disciple? Who is a disciple? We've heard that again and again, but let's remind ourselves this morning. Number one, that a disciple is a dedicated follower of Christ. A disciple is one, not just a follower, but a dedicated follower of Christ. Hallelujah. I was looking to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. After Judas had committed suicide, after the betrayer committed suicide, now 11 disciples of Jesus left. And they were to pick somebody to take over the position of Judas. And the scripture tells us that they looked at the qualification. What should be the qualification of the one that will be appointed to be an apostle or a disciple? To fill the position of Judas Iscariot. And that passage says he must be one who has been a follower of Jesus right from the time of John the Baptist. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So a disciple is a dedicated follower of Christ who have been following wholeheartedly, who have been a witness of all that he did. Hallelujah. So they picked Matthias. So that's number one. We're looking at a disciple. If we are going to make disciple, who is a disciple? So let's look at that qualification so that we challenge ourselves, we encourage ourselves to see if we fall in. And if we fall in, then we have to make people like us. That is the way we, the body of Christ can multiply. That is the way the body of Christ can grow. And that is the way sinners can be reached for eternity. Of thousands of people that followed Jesus in his days, when he was here on earth, only the disciples, as we've heard again and again, only the disciples followed through. Those who came because of bread, those who came because of miracle, with time, they all went away. But the true disciples, they followed through until the day Jesus Christ was taken to heaven. Who is a disciple? Not only a dedicated follower, but one that shares his faith. One that introduces Jesus. One that is not only sure of what he has known, heard, according to John, that which we have seen, that which you have heard, that which you have touched, of the word of life we give unto you. Right? They share wholeheartedly their faith. They introduce Jesus to others. They introduce others to Jesus. That is a disciple. That is a disciple. A disciple cannot just shut his or her mouth. You remember two examples. The woman at the well, we heard that. The message. After hearing the message from Jesus, after knowing that Jesus is the Messiah that they have been waiting for, she left her water pot and she ran to the city and she went to her home company. When I say company, you know, she has been a woman that had been moving with men, and now this man knew her. The Bible says she went to the city and told the men, come and see another man. Hallelujah. Amen. Come and see another man who told me all that I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? So she went to where she was known. She went to her company. She went to her community. She went to where she was well known. They knew her in the community. They knew what she was doing. So she cannot just hold back. The truth that she had, she shared it. She shared it. Another person is Andrew, John 1:41. When Andrew had met with Jesus and he knew that this was the Messiah, he did not keep it to himself. He shared it. He first found his brother, Peter, Simon Peter, and said unto him, we have found him who is the Messiah. Is this not the Christ? He shared his faith. He shared what he just saw, what he heard. He was convinced that's the Messiah. He's not going to keep it to himself. So he went. Only heaven knew in advance that Peter was going to be a real pillar. He's going to be a powerful person. He's going to be a vessel in the hand of God. But somebody had to introduce him to Jesus. And Andrew did that. Andrew did that. And Simon Peter became a well-known firebrand in the body of Christ. You may not know the person you are going to introduce to Christ. You may not know what you are about to do when you pray aright and God leads you to the right person and you share, you care, and you pray, you care, you share, and you bring the person to Christ. You may not know what you are doing, that you are, you know, you are touching heaven and eternity with such a move. You may possibly be changing a whole community, a whole city, a whole nation. Only God knows. To God be the glory. Who is a disciple? One that is obedient to the word of God. One that is obedient to the Lord and his word. Obedience is the key. It's one of the major things we look at, that God himself looks at when it comes to following him, when it comes to running the race, following Jesus. Obedience is very important. And so the prophet told Saul, Samuel told Saul, King Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. One word, do what God says that should be done. Do it rightly. That is better than trying to amend after you are finished confessing and say, God, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It would have been better. It's better you avoid it. It's better you do it the way God wants you to do it. When we obey, we follow his instruction. Jesus said, you are my disciples if you do what? If you obey my instruction. If you keep my commandments. If you keep my instructions. One of the signs to prove that you are Christ follower, I am Christ follower, is my obedience. He says, I should love. If I fail in loving the body of Christ, even my neighbor, then I am not obeying. I am not following the instruction of the Lord. He says, I should forgive. If I do not do that, then I'm not obeying the instruction of the word. And I'm not following him rightly. He says, you know, we should be hungry and do not sin. And don't let the sun do what? Go down your anger. If we don't do that, we just give room for the enemy. So there are instructions that he has given. As we allow his Holy Spirit to guide us, the GPS leading us, and we do the right thing, we will discover that we are just exhibiting the sign, or we are exhibiting, you know, the character or the traits of a disciple. We cannot be a disciple except we obey, except we do his will, except to walk in his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is a disciple? A disciple is a steward. A disciple is a steward. We show our stewardship. All right? Stewardship of our time. Stewardship of our treasure, our money. Stewardship of our talents. Everything God has given to us is for his glory. Whatever God has given is for his glory and for the expansion of his kingdom. And so whatever we have, whatever time we have, is for his glory. He allows us to do our work, our daily work, our daily business, or whatever we do for a living. Even there, we are representing him. Hallelujah. We are representing him there in that workplace. You are a full-time, you know, minister in that place representing heaven. So in obedience, you listen to what he's telling you, what he will tell you, what he will restrict you from, what he will restrict you from, and what he will ask you to do. So we live by faith, not by sight. So when we faithfully obey him, we are, you know, displaying not only obedience, but also our stewardship in spending our time rightly. Of the 24 hours a day that we have, 24 hours a day, how many hours do I give to God? How many hours do I seek his face? How many hours do I pray? How many hours do I read the scripture? How many hours do I do other things that is related to eternity? We know that whatever we do is still part of what we have to do. Our work, you know, we go to Walmart, we go to places, we do things, we change our attire, we walk on our vehicles, we walk in our home. It's still part of what we need to do, but then as its representative. But then, how many hours is consecrated for purely praying and worship and then reading the word? Well, we may say, I can pray anywhere in the kitchen while driving and everything. Yeah, when we compute everything together in the 24 hour, how many hours have we prayed? The 5 minutes in the kitchen, the 2 minutes in the bathroom, the 10 minutes while we're driving to our workplace, and everything when you compute it together, how many hours in a day? And that is personal. That is personal prayer. Then when it comes to corporate, how many hours? So all these we have to look at, because we are talking about stewardship. Stewardship of our time. The stewardship of our talents. What God gave us. That passage we read in the book of Luke chapter 19. We are coming to that as we're going to end the message. Everyone had a mina. Well, mina or mina. Whichever one. Hallelujah. Everyone had at least one mina. And that one was meant for something. Not for the individual that got it, but for the master. So, what are we doing with it? And God is requiring us a fraction of what he has given us. Do we give a fraction of what he has given us to him? Stewardship. A disciple, don't forget, is one that shows stewardship. Stewardship of the time. Stewardship of our treasure. That's what we are looking at now. And stewardship of our talents. Whatever God has given to us this morning, our choir sang beautifully. Hallelujah. Amen. And when they stood here and began, I remember those days when we were conducting, I was also a choir master. I remember all those things. Praise the Lord. Yes, whatever God has given you is to benefit the body of Christ. And as you use that gift, somebody is blessed. Somebody is encouraged. Somebody is touched. Somebody sees the gift and the way God is ministering through that body to bring about edification to the Lord and blessing to his people. So, whatever gift, can you sing? Join the choir. Can you do ushering? Please, don't hold back. Are you interested in being part of a teacher? We are looking for teachers in the children department. Please, whatever you can do, don't keep that gift any longer. It's time to use it. You know why? Anything can happen anytime. Rapture can happen anytime. And only God knows what is happening in the world today. I was hearing somewhere somebody predicting. Well, he's not a Christian. So whatever he says, no matter what he said in the past that happened, who is that person that says a word and come to pass if God has not spoken? He said that he saw something. He saw something that there may be. He's predicting war, Third World War. And we are praying to God of peace to have mercy upon the world, to have mercy upon America and the entire world, so that the Prince of Peace will reign in the heart of those who are drumming war. We don't want war. We want peace. Amen? Amen. So we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what the enemy is cooking. But I tell you, whatever happens, we are secured in Christ. But what I'm saying is this. Now that we have the opportunity, let's use our talents. Let's make use of it. Somebody else might be blessed. Somebody over there might be encouraged. Somebody looking at you through the internet might be blessed in Africa, in Indonesia, all right, in Latin America. Somebody might be touched by a word, a phrase, a prayer, the song, the worship, It could be a sick person on the bed. And your ministration, just go right there. The right word, just hit the person. And he grabs that word. So let's use our gift, our talent, everything God has given to us. Who is a disciple? I've used the word. Prayer came up in the other aspect of stewardship. Okay. One that prays privately and one that prays corporately. I just mentioned it by way of talking about the time we give to God. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. When the church began to grow and the church was multiplying, then because we are human, the daily necessity, the daily ministration, some people were not touched, some people were not ministered to. So there was some grumbling in the church, in the early church. And when the leaders heard about it, and they were given an advice, please, what can we do about this? You know what the apostle says, the leaders? He said in that Acts chapter 6 verse 4, said, go and appoint 7 leaders of honest report, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on, but we will give ourselves to what? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. If you read further, the Bible says, and the word grew, and the number of disciples were multiplied. How? Because those who are meant to be praying were praying, and they were ministering the word. And others, the deacons and deaconesses who have gifts, and they didn't hide it, that didn't stop them from preaching, because one of them became evangelist. You know Stephen? All right. And many of them became evangelists. But they began by serving tables, by helping. Those are the gift of helps. They couldn't cover it down. They used it. But prayers was being offered. And because they were praying and ministering the word, the Bible says that the church grew. Only disciples pray. Only disciples crucify themselves and pray. Because prayer, I tell you, prayer is job. It's real work. Your body will tell you, sorry, you are doing too much. Your body will tell you, I cannot go any further. I'm tired. I'm sick. So many things will happen. But like Paul the Apostle said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. So, crucifixion. You have to reckon that, look, as long as God gives the grace, we have to make this body be in subjection to the Holy Spirit so that the will of God be done and so that the body of Christ might be healthy. If you do not pray as a disciple, something will be missing. Don't forget, disciple. We are looking at who is a disciple. A disciple is one that prays. We don't beg him to pray. We don't drag him or her to pray. He sees the importance of prayer. He sees the urgency of prayer. He sees the place of prayer, whether privately or corporately. He prays. And there is always urge for prayer. Don't misunderstand me. It's not only when we kneel down that we pray. I've mentioned that earlier on. But then there will be a time when you have to shut yourself in a particular place where you have to talk to God away from distraction, because you want to concentrate. A disciple is one that prays privately and corporately. And may the Lord hear your cry, your prayers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Who is a disciple? Disciple is one that depends and is led by the Holy Spirit. We'll be hearing of GPS. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Being led means be the Holy Spirit taking over. Holy Spirit taking over, overseeing the day to day. He influences your thought, influences your action. Sometimes we derail, but it tells you immediately. It's just like those of us who have a new modern car that has all these signals. right? If your car is not in alignment, it's not in the right position, you know, there is the roads are lined up. We have this sensor that tells you are out of your way. All right? It tells you, maybe you are dozing and then you just say, pam, pam. Oh, you know, okay, yeah. It brings you back. That is what the Holy Spirit does. It's inside of us when we are drifting away. Pam, pam. Brother, son, you are getting away from the road. You are not aligning yourself with the word, with the truth. You are not walking. Get up. When Saul, who later on became Paul, was born again, received fire, and he went to Damascus, the Holy Spirit alerted a disciple. The Bible says there was a disciple in that city. What is his name? Ananias. Say, Ananias, wake up, Ananias. Go by the way, go to so-so-so house. There is one person there called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he's praying. Go there. Pray for him that he might receive his sight. Ananias said, look, I've heard of him. He's come. In fact, he left where he was in Jerusalem. He came over here to arrest us and to bound us into prison. You want me to go and pray for him? The Lord said, go. Because he is now what? He is now a vessel. A vessel in my hand. I was able to hear. He followed instruction. He did what the Holy Spirit told him. He prayed for him. Saul became Paul. Because there was a disciple right there in that city. Who could hear God. Who could obey even midnight. To the instruction of the Lord. And he went. He prayed. And Brother Saul. Because when he came to him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord will appear to you on your way. Has also sent me to pray for you that you might receive your sight. And when he has laid his hand upon him, he received his sight. Hallelujah. Promptness to the leading of the Holy Spirit is what a disciple does. You know, ability to be prompt. When he prompts our hearts, when he tells us to do something, sometimes he gives us that nudge. Rise now, pray. Rise now. Mention the name of that brother. Right now. Cancel every plan of so in the life of that sister. Right now, take authority over that family. Right now, do this. He tells you because he knows. He's the GPS. He knows what is going to happen. An hour, 2 hours, 10 hours from now. A week from now. So a disciple is not the one that, all right? You know what I'm talking about? He doesn't hear anything. All right? But one that have been walking with God hears. The inner ear is opened and is promptly obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord help us to be disciples in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, the last I'm going to mention there is, I've been saying it by the way of talking, a disciple reproduces himself. You reproduce yourself into somebody. You are not just alone. Whatever God has made you to be, that is seen in somebody. When Paul was writing to one of the churches, he said, as I'm writing you, church, Timothy is with me. I have a Timothy. And that is one that I've reproduced myself into. I have someone that is learning from me. I have someone that I am bringing up. I am not perfect. Neither is he perfect. He has his own shortcoming. But I tell you, he's a young man filled with the Holy Spirit. But I have him follow me everywhere I go so that he will learn from me. Because a disciple follows his instructor. He follows his mentor. Jesus is our mentor. Hallelujah. We follow heartedly. We follow dedicatedly. We follow willingly. We follow obediently. So, and God is telling us in this house, we have to reproduce ourselves. I was it on Friday? I don't know which day was that? I was just saying we're here, we're few. And I said, well, the way I'm just looking at this thing is, God has challenged us through his servant. Maybe you want to do your own weekly praying, you know, on your one, or discovering the one, maybe bi-weekly or monthly. But we can do all that. But if every one of us can pray and work so hard that, Lord, I don't want 2023 to pass away without me having a disciple. If we are 20, we'll be 40. If we are 40, we'll be how many? 80. And if we are 80, we'll be what? 160. If we all walk toward that. All right, God will give us among all the people we minister to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we go, God will lead us to 1, 2, 3, 4. Some as we're talking, sharing, you know. Some may, you know, be still interested. Some may tell, well, I'm already a Christian. Some will tell you, some may not be interested. But if we are able to get to 10 people in a year or 20. Out of that 10 or 20, we should be able to have one person that will say, this one was a convert indeed and is a follower of Christ. May the Lord help me. It's a prayer I'm praying because, Lord, you have to help me to do it. And I want to do it. Jesus said in his word that we shall abide in him. John chapter 15 said, abide in me. And let my word abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide where? In the vine. So can ye except ye abide in me. So we need to abide in order to reproduce ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah. As we are rounding up, I want us to go back to that Luke chapter 19, 12 to 26. We are not reading it, but these are the things I see there. I see what Christ gave you, or what Christ gave us from that story. What Christ gave us, the opportunity that he gave us, what he gave us. Number one, he gave us equal time and opportunity. All of us, all the servants he called, he gave them 1 mina each. All of us, we have equal opportunity. No one is higher than the other. No one is greater. No one is, you know, smaller. So we are given equal time. We have 24 hours in a day. We have the same calendar in a year. And as long as the Lord keeps his coming, I mean, it's not yet back, we have as long as he allows us to live. Amen. We have equal time and opportunity. Number two, we have equal grace, that is salvation. We have been born again. Shout hallelujah. We have Christ. We have one Lord. We have one baptism. We have one body. So we have the same salvation. So in that story, no one is greater than the other. They had the same experience. They were all servants. And they had just one master. We are all saved by grace. And Jesus was the one who paid for our salvation. And number three, we're given ability. Though our ability differs. But the least, if you go back to Matthew, where this story was narrated in a different way, all right? The master called his servant, he gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, he gave 1 1 according to their abilities. In one word, he will not overrate or underrate anyone. So we all have ability to change our situation, to change our environment. We have ability to work for God. We have ability to bring to pass his plan and purpose. Our approach may differ. Our level of creativity may be different. Our availability may not be same, but we all have ability to do something that will affect eternity. So that's what Christ gave us. But let's see what is it that he expects of us from that same story in Luke chapter 19. He expects intentionality. You have to be intentional. When he gave each one of them mina, he told them, you know, under language, he said, do business. One word, occupy till I come. Be at work. He didn't tell them what kind of work. He didn't tell them where to walk. He did tell them how far you have to walk. But he trusted that they will use their, you know, their ability, they will use their creativity, they will use their sense, they will use everything in them and apply to the weather, to whatever is happening within their time, and do something with what is given to them. Jesus told the disciples when he resurrected from the grave, said, now all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Therefore, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, beginning from where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. You know what? He gave them the great commission, that is the commandment to go. He told them where they had to go, where they have to go, and where they have to begin. The place they have to start from, Jerusalem, where they are. And he told them, all right, the end of the world is the goal, the uttermost part of the earth. But he didn't tell them the pace. He didn't tell them how fast. He didn't tell them when to go. They have to use their brain. Hallelujah. Amen. And he did not give them any pause. Hallelujah. He didn't give them money. But he knew that if they obey, they'll do his will, there will be a way. Amen. That God is making way for us here. God is making way for us. When God shows us, show his servant, this is the next thing to be done, God makes a way. Because the job belongs to him. So number one, intentionality is very important. Number two, what he expects from us, service. Labor. Service means labor. Work. That work to an engineer is different from when you tell an engineer work, he knows what to do. Maybe he works with wire and all these things. If you tell a bricklayer work, he knows he has to carry, a construction man, he knows he has to carry some blocks, bricks, and do some other things. When you tell an electrician work, he knows he has to put some wires together. When you tell somebody who is somebody who serves in the kitchen, all right, work, he knows he has to put some ingredients together and make some beautiful, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner from it. All right, whatever that work stands for, service, we have to do it. All right, the same thing in the body of Christ. He expects us, Jesus expects us to labor, to service, whether in the word, whether in prayer, whether in soul winning, and whatever area, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your heart. Yes, you know, he's expecting us to labor. And number three, he's expecting productiveness or fruitfulness. And that's why when he came back, he got a feedback. Every one of them, you have to give him feedback. What they did with the 1 mina, or what, you know, in Matthew, what the man that received 5 talents did with the 5 talents. Those who did well came boldly. Master, you gave me 5. I want 5 more. Master, you gave me 2. I want 2 more. If the one given one was also faithful, productive, and did service and loyal to his master, he would have also come boldly and say, Master, you gave me 1. I want 1 more. That would have been, because that was his level. That was what he could do. He was not underrated. So, God expects us to be productive. He expects us to be fruitful in so many. If there's anything Jesus told his disciples to do, He didn't tell them, go and build cathedral. He didn't tell them, go and do anything. Just look at that scripture. He said, go, make disciples. In one word, it has to do with souls. But then we all know that with our brain, when you win souls, you don't put them on that tent for too long. Because when winter comes, all right, nobody will be ready to stay. So you need a structure. So there are some things that came up as a result of obeying the instruction of the Lord. And he will guide in those ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth a soul is wise. Why is he wise? Because he has just snatched a soul from destruction, from hell. Because he did not allow the enemy, the devil, to take hold of that life. He was wise enough to listen to what heaven was saying, that man, that woman, the death of Jesus affects him. The death of Jesus covers him or her. He too can become a child, one that is redeemed. He listened to that voice, is wise. We are studying the book of Ecclesiastes, right? It's talking about wisdom. Wisdom. It says, he who winneth souls have just applied wisdom in making sure that the one who is going for destruction has is snatched away from that way, from that path. And not allowed the Lord the enemy to crush him or her before he was given that opportunity. And not only that, because the reward follows. He that winneth so is wise. The reward follows because there is a crown for soul winners in heaven. Hallelujah. Before we get to heaven, even here, when you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that you led to the Lord, doing well, strong, healed, healthy, serving the Lord, you're already receiving your, you know, God is already rewarding you because you are happy. You are seeing your children that they are standing for the Lord. They are doing well. Hallelujah. Already you are receiving your reward from here. And then when we see him, there is going to be a reward for being a wise soul winner. Don't forget, he does the conversion. We are just his mouthpiece. And the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we are to produce ourselves. We are to walk based on what you have been hearing. Let's keep on praying. Pray for the one. Care for that one. Share when that opportunity arises with that one. And bring him to the Lord. And when you bring him to the Lord, the goal is he must be, she must be as strong as you are. So you have to pray. And that is why, you know, winning a soul, bringing him to Christ, you led him to Christ, that is not the end of the job. You have just started. Because you are not going to make, like we had it, you don't catch fish, and then, oh, beautiful, this is tilapia, wow, it's big. And you let it go again. Well, here in America, that's where I see. Sorry. Fishing here in America is quite different from what I understood it. All right, we go fishing for the mouth. We catch it, we take it home, and we dress it and we eat. But there are those who are doing fishing, you know, because it's hobby, it's a sport. They bring it out, they record it. Okay, this year I've caught about 500 fish or fishes. All right, they bring it out, they weigh, they look at the length, they look at the weight and everything. They record it in their record and then they let it go. But if those kind of fish come to Africa, it will come out, will never go back. Hallelujah. Okay, as we round up, what I mean is this. When the Lord has given you that fish, when you have prayed, you have cared, you have shared, and you have brought him to the Lord, you must do the work of discipleship. We must disciple. You must, by yourself, before you hand him or however to the church, if the person is coming to the church or own fellowship, you must do the work of discipling that person. So maybe you're going to ask yourself, okay, what do I do to disciple a person? That's a different thing entirely. a different teaching entirely or preaching. All right, because a disciple is a follower. A disciple will have a follower, of course. A follower will become a disciple later. But the follower will begin to see what the disciple is doing. Reading the Bible, praying, and whatever he or she sees you doing, will begin to learn. Where I came from, there is a group of these religious people. They always have people following them. They call them oletela afar. In one word, is a follower of afar. In one word, a disciple of afar. So when they are far in that religious set, when he's preaching, he will say, everyone, don't forget to come in the evening. He will say, Alpha said, everyone, don't forget to come in the evening. He will repeat whatever the man have said. Whatever, every word that the man pronounces, he will repeat it. He will keep on repeating it. So in one word, he's learning that whatever the man says, that is what he is saying. He's repeating it. So whatever he does, he too should also repeat. In one word, by action, he's saying, I am a learner. So you make the person that you are winning to the Lord, make him a learner. Make him or her a learner. You become the teacher. You tell him, give him prayer point. Tell him scripture to read for that week. Give him scripture to memorize. Tell him, did you read your Bible yesterday? Oh, were you in the service? You know, so things like that. Just care. We're going to stop there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we please rise up? I want to be a disciple. Maybe one, two, three things here. I still have some problem with it. I want you to take this time to pray. I say, Lord, a disciple is one who is truly dedicated as follower of Christ. Am I really dedicated? A follower is one that shares his faith, introduces Jesus to others, and others to Jesus. How often do I do that? Have I even done it this year? Have I been doing it? Lord, I need your help. A disciple is one that obeys. Obedience. How is my obedience? Is it obeying when it is convenient? Or disobeying when, you know, the flesh says this is too hard? How far can I go in my obedience? Lord, help me. Still worship. Still worship for the kingdom. Lord, still worship of my time, my talent, and my treasure. How am I doing? Lord, I need your help. A disciple is one that prays privately and corporately. A disciple is one that depends on the Holy Spirit for leadership. A disciple reproduces himself. Let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do any of this without your help. I just need you. As we sing that song, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. As we sing that song, let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I just need you. I need you like never before. I just need your help to be a true disciple. You have called me. I didn't call myself. Lord, be there for me. I want you to be helped in this area. 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. Or maybe it's only one. Maybe it's everything. I just need your touch. Let us begin to pray as we sing that song. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, strengthen me, my Savior. I come to thee. One more time. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every heart I need thee. Oh, help me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Yes, talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you, God. I need you to be a true disciple. Lord, I still need to, Father, 1, 2, 3 areas in my life. Father, help me. I need the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, to ginger me up. Lord, to continue to remind me. Lord, to open my ear, my understanding. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me, O God, to be intentional. Help me, O God, Father, to be productive. Help me, O God, to be in service truly. Lord God Almighty, invest in my time, my talent, my treasure. Jehovah God, help me with that one that I'm praying for or that I'm yet to discover. Lord, help me, help me, help me. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need you. We need the Lord in this church. We need him to help us. We need him to take us from point A to point B when it comes to soul winning. We need him to help us. Yes, to be able to disciple those who the Lord will bring our way. Lord, we need you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we surrender unto you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Ancient of Days. I surrender, oh. I surrender, oh, unto thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender, I surrender, oh, I surrender, I surrender, oh, I surrender, I surrender, oh, unto thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you all praise, honor, adoration. We thank you, mighty God, because we know for without you we can do nothing. The instruction you gave to your disciple, which is extended to us, that we should go make. The process of making, which we have not even, Lord, touched this day. Lord, to make, Lord, takes a while. To make involves labor. To make involves praying. To make involves, oh God, giving time. To make disciples, oh God, means leaving, oh God, our comfort zones. Father, to seek, Lord, those who are lost, just as you did. Lord, this we are praying today, that you help us first to be true disciples. Help us. You have called us to be disciples. But Lord, we see 1, 2, 3, 4 area, 5, 6, 7 areas in our lives. Lord, where I need you, and I cannot hide it. Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you. Help us, Lord, that we, as disciples, you are relying on us to be your extension. Help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to open our mouth. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be intentional. Help us to be a service, to labor in prayer, in word. Help us, oh God, to be ready. Jehovah God, at any given time. Father, to share, to care. Blessed be thy name. Lord, except you help us, our flesh will drag us. So help us to overcome the flesh. Help us to crucify this flesh. Help us, oh God, to say no to the flesh. Help us to say it is time to serve the Lord. Help us to be wise. Lord, as we win souls, help us to be wise. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. May we not, oh God, be judged by that which, oh God, we have had today, by that which, oh God, we have shared today, in the mighty name of Jesus. May your word, oh God, sanctify us. May your word strengthen us. Take us to the next level. Thank you, Lord, for your son and the team, as you bring them back safe and sound. Thank you. We remember those who are sick, and we have been praying. Thank you for healing them. Hallelujah. Thank you for setting them free. Yes. Whatever the enemy say, oh, will we see this accomplished in the life of this one? We say no. We cancel this plan in the name of Jesus. Amen. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We declare victory, healing. We declare salvation. We declare, oh God, that these ones are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name. Take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen.